face of skies for amber waves of...
Well, good afternoon. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us on the line Dr. Joe Douglas. And Joseph Douglas is a fascinating gentleman, a good friend. He's written a number of books, Red Cocaine, but we're going to be talking today about his book, Betrayed, because it's the story of the men who were abandoned, not only in Vietnam, but of course we're abandoned in Korea. We're abandoned in the Second World War. We're even abandoned in the First World War. And you know, it's a tradition of our fighting men never to leave a man behind. But of course it's the tradition of our leaders, of course, to always leave prisoners with the other side. And you wonder why this would be, and why, if this is true, the American people wouldn't know. And the reason they don't know is because the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Dr. Joe Douglas, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's always a pleasure, Dr. Sam.
All right, fine. Well, of course, how did you happen to get interested in this subject? This is, you know, you put an awful lot of time and effort into writing this excellent book, Betrayed. How did you get interested in the subject of the men who were left behind?
Well, it's actually quite unusual because I had not even thought about the problem of the men left behind. What happened is... I had been doing some work in the chemical and the biological warfare area and had come across a large volume of information relative to Soviet activities in those two areas. And I went up to Capitol Hill to speak to a good friend of mine who was on the staff of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. My goal was really to see if there wasn't somebody someplace in the government that was concerned about the chemical and the biological warfare areas and so whom I could talk to about this information. And I described it briefly to him, and his reaction after about listening to me for about 4 or 5 minutes was, you know, Joe, nobody really in the government cares about chemical or biological warfare, but what you have should be of great interest to a new committee that's being formed, a select committee to investigate the POW/MIA affairs. Well, the reason he drew that connection, Dr. Stan, is I was telling him about some of the Soviet advances in chemical and biological warfare area, and in particular, their use of American prisoners of war as guinea pigs for use in developing advanced chemical and biological warfare.
Now, was that during the Korean War, or was that during the Second World War, or both?
In terms of the direct knowledge of the Americans, this was during the Korean War.
All right, fine.
However, the Soviets had a major program in both chemical and biological warfare. It went back to the late 1920s, as a matter of fact, and they were very active in World War II and used tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of prisoners in their experiments. And these were detailed in a number of reports that were put together by German intelligence on the Soviet activities. So I suspect it would not be unusual to have some American prisoners from World War II having been sacrificed for these experiments during the war and in the period immediately following the war.
Well, of course, we know the Japanese did that, and we let them off scot-free. In fact, we gave them complete immunity if they just give us the records of their macabre experiments and the men who survived. Why the government said it never happened, never happened. We'll talk about that some other time. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Dr. Joseph Douglas, talking about his book, Betrayed. Well, the This is Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest today is Dr. Joe Douglas, and we're going to be talking about his book, Betrayed, which is the story of the men who were abandoned during the First World War and the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Second World War, pardon me, Vietnam, and of course there is even Commander Spitzer, Lieutenant Commander Spitzer, who of course was written off as dead. Now suddenly they say, well, maybe he survived. They knew all along that he'd survived. Of course they waited until far too late to try to do anything about that, because we wouldn't want to offend our good friend Saddam Hussein after the Gulf War, would we? So let's go ahead and of course Dr. Douglas was telling how he'd gotten involved in this. He was, of course, told about this special government select committee that was going to investigate the MIAs. And, of course, Dr. Douglas was very concerned at that time, about the chemical and biological warfare experiments that the Soviets were using. So why don't you pick up the story from there?
Well, I'd be glad to, Dr. Stan, because when I heard what my friend had told me, my initial reaction was that I was really sitting on a potential time bomb. And so I went back home and reviewed my notes and went back and started reading some things about the POW-MIA problem area. And you know, this is one of those issues that when you get in, it's very difficult to let go, because it is the crimes committed, the duplicity involved is so utterly beyond contempt even that you can't understand how this could possibly be the case. But the more I dug into it, the more I found out that indeed we had abandoned men by the thousands, and we abandoned them knowing at the time the horrendous conditions that they were being subjected to. So as I got interested in this, and I then went back and contacted my first-hand source, who turned out to have been actually a part of the operation, a very high-level official from Czechoslovakia who defected to the United States, I went and had lunch with him, and we talked more extensively about his knowledge, because I knew that he was a gold mine, and this, of course, I'm referring to General Jan Sena, that he was a gold mine of information and had a fabulous memory. Well, the more we talked, what became apparent to me is he had more inside information on the actual operations involving U.S. prisoners of war, their capture and then transport to various hospitals and to the Soviet Union, that anybody in the U.S. government was aware of.
But, of course, there were a lot of people in the U.S. government who didn't want to hear what General Sena was saying. And that is, of course, the incredible part of this story. We're going to be back here in just a moment to tell you about it. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon, Dr. Joe Douglas. We're talking about, of course, the fact that there was going to be a special investigating committee looking into POWs, and of course Dr. Douglas had an opportunity to talk to a General Sena, who had actually come from Czechoslovakia, and of course he had been intimately involved with the transport, with what had happened to our prisoners in Korea, and then of course their transport through Czechoslovakia to the Soviet Union. So he knew this. Of course, our officials didn't want to do this, because if we had ever admitted to the American people that, of course, our government knew about the betrayal of our American fighting men, then our leaders might have had a lot of difficulty explaining why, under one guise or another, we were consistently funding the people who had, of course, subjected our men to such horrible, horrible treatment. So pick up the story from there, Dr. Douglas.
I think that's probably the aspect of a story that's so hard to come to grips with is the fact that people didn't want to know, and in many cases they deliberately hid the data. You know, this surprised me as much as anyone else when I got into it, because one of the first things I did after reviewing my notes and talking to my source was to come to the conclusion that the information was absolutely correct, that it was mind-boggling in its completeness and detail and of inestimable value in understanding this problem. So I then went to a couple people on the Senate Select Committee staff to give them an inkling of what I knew and what had come across, and to raise the issue, it seems to me that you people ought to be very interested in this. Well, that conversation all of a sudden triggered a number of events. Because as one works in the Washington arena as I had for many years in the national security, involving the State Department, Defense Department, and intelligence, you develop a number of friends, and you get feedback on things that are happening that you might otherwise not be aware of. And what I found out almost immediately was that memos had been constructed by the CIA falsifying intelligence and sent to the Senate Select Committee staff and committee members in an attempt to discredit Sena before anybody knew what he had to say.
And this was Major General Sena, who had actually been a Czechoslovakian a communist who had defected to the West and was trying to tell the American people the truth. And here the CIA was trying to discredit him. And, of course, the CIA has their agents in our media. In fact, I just finished reading a fascinating book. It's called Fixing Intelligence by General Odom, who for some years was head of the NSA. And in this book, he's talking about how to fix our intelligence agencies. But what he brings out, at least on two occasions, is the CIA has their agents planted in the American media. Now, as journalists, as commentators, now, the average American doesn't know that. He doesn't realize that we're being subjected to all sorts of propaganda because this is against the law. And, of course, General Odom on two occasions comments, he questions, of course, whether this is a proper thing to do. Well, of course, now this is the way it is in any totalitarian state. The establishment controls the media, controls what the people think and how they vote and how they react. And this is, of course, the sort of thing that's been done all along to suppress the truth about the betrayal of our American boys. And even back then, they were out to discredit Sena so that nobody would listen to him. Was that their game?
Absolutely. And not only did they go to the Senate Select Committee, they also went to people on the Joint Committee, Joint U.S.-Soviet Russia Committee that had been set up to screen some data and trying to find out if there was anything in the Soviet archives that might give bearing on this issue. And they did their best to sabotage that. They also were present in the higher echelons of the Office of the Secretary of Defense, and they managed to torpedo a proposal that I had put in to the POW/MIA office to track down special information that Sena had identified and that we were going to go get, and had identified people that would provide that information to us. They also, and this is the most unbelievable thing of all, Dr. Stan, the CIA and DIA's, the Defense Intelligence Agency's request, actually went to Soviet and Czech intelligence and told them what Sena was talking about as regards to the POW/MIA area.
Well, that's a good way to get him killed, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a good way to alert them that they had better go back and make sure that they're the people that they know about this area within Czechoslovakia and other East European countries in the Soviet Union knew very well that they had better not open their mouths or they would be silenced themselves. And, of course, we know that's precisely what was happening on this joint committee. The United States would find out information, and, of course, then they would have to turn it over to their joint comrades, and the next day they would find that the source either disappeared or recanted or suddenly had a bad memory. Of course, the KGB had read the reports and gotten to him before they could actually debrief him and get a tape recording of what he had to say.
Right.
So it's a tremendous amount of undercutting, backstabbing, and duplicitous operations that were orchestrated basically to keep any American POWs from being recognized, to keep any of the news media from focusing attention on their continued existence and life inside the Soviet Union and other communist countries, and, of course, to protect the communists and what they were doing from the prying eyes of people who might be interested in why we lost so many prisoners of war that were missing in action.
Well, I think when Yeltsin was coming to the United States, he even talked to the reporters on the plane saying that there might very well be Americans still in the gulag, and he would be glad to help. My understanding is when he got to the United States, he was told under no uncertain circumstances not to pursue that line. In other words, the people in the United States really weren't interested in finding anybody, were they?
Absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, in that particular example, the first thing that the U.S. government did was to discredit Yeltsin by saying he was drunk. And when that was disavowed, they said, well, the translations were bad. When that turned out to be false, they said, well, they went to him, actually, and wrote the script that he was going to offer joint efforts to try and find anybody that might be alive still in to Congress as a way of showing cooperation between the Soviets and the United States, when indeed that was all a fraud, because that committee, that joint committee, had been established in such a way as to prevent any information from ever coming out.
It's sort of like the new investigation of September 11th. The president appoints the chief of this to investigate the executive branch of government to find out what they knew. Well, of course, if you've been appointed by the executive branch of government and everybody on that committee, or most of them, are representing the executive branch of government, how many people believe that they're going to come up with anything accurate, or how many believe it's going to be a whitewash?
Absolutely. Now, in fact, it's worse than that, because the instant you have a crisis like that, you have inside studies that bring together all the possible data so that they understand precisely what happened, and to cover their own backside in a way, but also to understand how to fix any errors that might have arisen. I've been present and have been briefed on a number of those things in the past, so I understand the way it's done. And they don't need a commission to look at the studies. All they have to do is say, well, you know, bring your individual in-house studies and let's look at them. Say that to, tell that to the CIA and to NSA and to other agencies we're doing after-action studies of that crisis event.
Well, of course, what they really want, though, is to deceive the American people, and that's why they put together a lot of these public discussions that, of course, get a certain amount of play from the media. But the really important things, of course, we will never hear. They're all classified in the name of national defense, because we don't want the communists to know what we knew about the men we abandoned during the First World War or the Second World War, and the fact that so much of that information is still classified. Why would it be classified? Why are we still classifying the information on Pearl Harbor, on the assassination of President Kennedy 40 years ago? Why do we want to keep that secret? Are we trying to keep it from Lee Harvey Oswald?
It's amazing, you know, Dr. Stan, there's about 24 excellent books. You can't go wrong in any one of them that have been written by people who have gotten into this POW and IA problem area. And all of them have found, run into brick walls, the suppression of data, lying about data, and keeping data classified. And it's not just going back a few years. They found data still deliberately classified by people at the NSC level as far back as World War One.
And of course,
anything that has to do with the Soviet atrocities to get out into the open, and to the complicity of the United States officials in allowing it to happen.
And you've read most of these books, haven't you? I'm sure you probably read Moscow Bound,
yes,
written by a man named Brown. And I called him and wanted to get him on our program. He said, I can't talk about it anymore. He said, I just so emotionally involved to realize the betrayal. And even more than that, nobody seems to care.
That's right, and it's hard to find anybody in that area that hasn't gotten totally disgusted and frustrated. And, you know, you go through a period of time where you can't believe that the United States is involved, and then eventually you come to recognize that there is an unbelievable amount of duplicity and deceit and deception that's being played off on all investigators, on the Congress, on the wives and family members, and the American people at large. And that leads to a tremendous frustration as you have your books blocked, publishers soured against your books, videos stopped from distribution. This has happened to almost everybody that's written about this subject.
And of course, certainly the CIA, and I've been told this from very reliable sources, has their people planted in many of the major publishers. And in fact, Jim Mars, whose book, first book sold 1 million copies, and second one sold 500,000, Rule by Secrecy, Crossfire. When he took his book on what happened on September 11th, to HarperCollins, they were all set to go ahead and publish it until orders came down from the very top. Oh, we wouldn't want to publish this book. It might be traumatic for the families of the people who died there.
Yes.
Well, we're going to be back in just a moment or two with Dr. Joe Douglas. And, of course, we'll continue this study. Of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And, of course, if you'd like, of course, to call the station here, why it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or, of course, in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. But if you want to get Dr. Douglas's book, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, must reading, you'll get an insight into the duplicity, the betrayal of the men who've been left behind in the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I want to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that we live in very uncertain times. Certainly, the FEMA, the Office of Homeland Security, is planning on a major breakdown in our society. That's why they're spending billions of dollars on building relocation camps in case of civilian unrest in America. And this is not imaginary. It's real. You can go to certainly Newsmax.com website, pull down Chris Ruddy's office articles on this, go to the FEMA website, and they're planning on real serious problems in America. So if there are going to be serious problems, are you prepared? And one thing you really need to do is have a water filtration system so that you can have water. You can get by without food, but try getting by without water for any period of time. The Big Berkey water filter is what missionaries have used throughout the world for many, many years. And, of course, they're made of stainless steel. And, of course, they're very attractive. They have ceramic filters packed with activated charcoal. They'll filter out the bacteria. Many of the chemicals and the things that you don't want in your water improve the taste of it. This has been the standard for many years, the Big Berkey, as it's called. Ordinarily, they're $279. We sell them for $239. And, of course, you'll also get a four-tape set or a video that we produce if you buy it through us. And you call us at 1-800-5-448-9927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. But the Big Berkey is not available in either California or Iowa. However, there is a Berkey that is available in every state except for Iowa. It's called the Berkey Light. And it, of course, is made of transparent material, the same sort of thing you have in bulletproof glass. It has the black Berkey filters, and the black Berkey filters certainly are much more efficient. They don't filter the water. They purify it, and, of course, they do a great job. They just don't last as long as the big Berkey filters, which can be cleaned over and over again. Now, if you get the form that we have without lights, it's $199, and, of course, you get the video or the four-tape set if you buy it through us. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for about the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can actually see them up there, the Big Berkey. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Joe Douglas, and we're talking about, of course, the crash indifference towards the suffering of the men who went overseas to fight for liberty, and then found they were, of course, betrayed by the dark side of our government. We've got some wonderful people in working in government, totally dedicated to public service, but there is an element of people who are pragmatic, and then there are others, of course, who really are wicked, and they're the ones, of course, who are manipulating this and will make the life of anybody who tries to tell the truth very, very very, very difficult. And this is the problem, that these people have a different agenda, a different worldview. So why don't you pick up the story from there, Dr. Douglas?
You know, one of the people, Dr. Stan, that is a just a real American hero and is a legend in this area is Captain Red McDaniel. he spent 7 years in a prison camp in North Vietnam, and came out and was as patriotic as ever, and was working hard in the Navy, and finally retired then, and was supporting the men out there and calling for their return. And then he gradually began to recognize that the government didn't want to locate them.
Didn't want them back again, right.
Didn't want them to back, didn't want anybody to know that they'd been left behind. And so he then came and did almost a 180-degree turnaround in recognizing the nature of this problem. And the one, you know, he said a very notable thing. He said, you know, I was prepared to go to war for my country, and I was prepared to be captured, and I was prepared to be wounded, and I was prepared to die. But I was not prepared to be abandoned by my country. And he also, through the eyes of his wife, had also said another remarkable analysis of the problem, that we have to really solve this problem because it's about the integrity of our country. It's about the honor of our country. And if we don't, we may win a few battles, but we'll lose the war for our country.
Actually, he went to see President Nixon, didn't he, after President Nixon was out of office? What happened at that time?
Well, of course, the problem there was the tremendous lies that all the men are back. That was one that was launched by President Nixon, and to a certain extent was supported by the spokesman from the Defense Department, Dr. Roger Shields, who eventually acknowledged that his statement that we have no men that we know were left behind was changed to more correctly. We have no information that they're dead or that they're alive. And that's really just referring to recent information, because we did have massive amounts of information that our men were alive, that they were captured alive, but he evidently never had any access to the intelligence on that that was collected either by the CIA or by the NSA people, Jerry Mooney and Terry Mnuchin.
What did Nixon say when Captain Red McDaniels went to see him?
You know, one of the things that the most remarkable thing that he said to one of the people that was involved in this was his comments to Roger Shields, which we have on tape. We don't have the ones to Red McDaniel on tape that I've run into. But what he said to Roger Shields was the whole conversation was how to handle this from a public relations perspective, how to give the people confidence that the American government was doing everything they can so that they wouldn't lose faith, while at the same time really not being concerned at all about the men. I remember Roger Shields, after this conversation had went on for a while, he said, but Mr. President, there are two men missing for every one that returned. And Nixon's response was inaudible, and he immediately changed the conversation and brought the meeting to an end. And that indicates his interest. And of course, the other thing that they did was they tried to make as though they were unaware of a secret letter that had been sent over to North Vietnam, basically offering them $3.5 billion worth of U.S. industrial products and assistance if they would release the POWs they still held. And of course, that wasn't said quite that way, but that's what it was for. And that sort of sealed their doom, because there was no way that Congress was going to approve something like that without knowing what it was all about, and there's no way that Congress was about to be told what it was all about.
And they certainly wouldn't want to tell the American people that, and what was even more unconscionable is my understanding is that Nixon lied about it, and then North Vietnamese gave one of our delegations a copy of the letter. And, of course, what could Nixon say? But then why should we be surprised that he'd lie about that? He lied about so many things.
That's right. You know, another thing that you mentioned John Brown. And John Brown and Tom Ashworth did a horrendous job of just digging through the National Archives and digging up information on the abandonment of the prisoners of war going back to World War One. And there's a beautiful quote that describes the Soviet leaders. The only one I've ever seen like that they dug up, that maybe after this break we could read to the readers.
All right, we'll be in with you in a moment.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention, of course, you really want to get Dr. Joe Douglas's book, Betrayed. It's important that you have it. We have a four-tape set on Vietnam. We have a four-tape set on the men we left behind, the abandonment of our men. And, of course, we have another four-tape set on the one man who came back, Bobby Garfield. And I have heard he was, of course, persecuted by the government. Why? Because he embarrassed these people who were living comfortably in Washington, D.C., by daring to survive the torture and horrors that he had to go through. And so they made out, and this is one of the most touching four tape sets we've ever put together. That's One Man Came Back, The Men We Left Behind, and of course, four tape set on Bobby Garwood. So you need to get this information because it's, and then of course we have a four tape set on Vietnam. We never went there to defeat the communists. I mean, if we had, why were we supplying money to Russia all during that war when they were supplying the North Vietnamese? Oh, we didn't know what we were doing. Don't you believe it for a minute. You need to get the information, and that's of course the four tape set on Vietnam, the four tape set on The Men We Left Behind, the four tape set on One Man Came Back. We have a copy of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee report that documents everything that Dr. Douglas is talking about, totally suppressed from the American people. We have what we call a Vietnam special, and you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. You can get the items separately. If you get them together, they're bundled. And, of course, there's the books and other things that come along with that. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Get the information. Help us to get it out, because next time it might be your brother, or your husband, your father, or your brother. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Joe Douglas talking about his excellent, excellent book, which we carry here at Radio Liberty, entitled Betrayed, The Men We Left Behind. Well, Dr. Stan here, and our guest is Dr. Joe Douglas, and of course, Joe has worked back in Washington, D.C., in the government for many years, and he's still back there, of course, trying to have some influence on policy, and he's been our guest on many, many subjects, but I think his book that we're talking about now is so vitally important. What was the quotation you were going to give it?
Let me precede this by, two comments. The Soviets have been a lethal adversary since the day they were brought into being. And the Soviet Union would have collapsed any number of times had it not been for the U.S. financial assistance and food at times, which kept them alive and kept them going, notwithstanding the nature of their operation. And there's only one place that I've ever seen this nature described, and well described, and it was done. It's a letter that was dug up by John Brown from August 10, 1920, written by U.S. Secretary of State Bainbridge Colby. And what he said was, and this is really interesting, he says, "The present rulers of Russia do not rule by the will or the consent of any considerable portion of the Russian people. The Bolsheviks, by force and cunning, seize the machinery and powers of government and have continued to use them with savage oppression. The existing regime in Russia is based upon the negation of every principle of honor and good faith and every usage and convention in underlying the whole structure of international law. The negation, in short, of every principle upon which it is possible to base harmonious and trustful relations, whether of nations or of individuals." Now, he really hit the nail on the head. That was known very clearly back in 1920, which which is right about the time we were preparing to send food over to Russia to keep them alive from the Great Famine.
And, of course, it wasn't just we were going to send food. We were going to send it only to the communists. And if you read Herbert Hoover's memoirs, and we can get to the page out of the book, 97% of the millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of food we sent over at that time, 97% went to the small area where the communists were in control, and 3% to where the anti-communists were in control. Whose side do you think we really were on? And of course, at that time, the dominant force in the United States was a man named Colonel Edward Mandel House. And of course, that's what people don't understand. And you don't understand why these things happen unless you understand who House was and what motivated it. But why don't you pick up the story from there?
That's very true, as a matter of fact, because House was a clear Marxist. And he was, of course, one of the founders of the Council on Foreign Relations that have been doing their best to erode all principles of American sovereignty and nationalism and have undercut the United States in every possible way. Even worse than that administration, and I'd say the one that was probably the most heinous, was the Roosevelt administration. Because there you had actually Soviet agents, known Soviet agents, that were living in the White House.
You mean like Harry Hopkins, of course, the president's closest advisor.
Absolutely, and Malcolm Curry and a number of other ones.
Right.
And everything that, the only trouble with what McCarthy said was maybe is some of his tactics and bluster, but really he understated the nature of the problem. And we now know that that is true as a result of a certain portion of Venona intelligence signals intercepts, which have been used now to understand that the people in our government knew that the government was being totally infiltrated in all areas by Soviet agents and communists, and this was done with the knowledge of President Roosevelt, who didn't want to take any action against any of them, because, as he was typical to say, what's wrong with the communists? Some of my best friends are communists.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. There's a new book out. We're going to try to get the author, and a woman named Ann Coulter, who writes for Human Events. Her book is called Treason, and she goes into the background of McCarthy, and she says, you know, the trouble with McCarthy, he just didn't point out the degree of infiltration of our government by the communists, and he was, of course, pilloried by the liberal media that have created the reality of the American people. Well, there's a fascinating editorial in the Wall Street Journal in the last couple of days, a ring, of course, and Coulter for daring, of course, to do that. And most people think the Wall Street Journal is conservative. They don't understand that the people who control that are the same people who control the New York Times and the Washington Post. They all come from this little club, the Council on Foreign Relations, a front group for a secret society created by Cecil Rhodes in 1891. And, of course, read that article, editorial, talk about yellow journalism in the Wall Street Journal. But then what would you expect if they control both sides, the conservative and liberal sides of the media? We never, never, never hear the truth. Let's go to Ben calling from Salinas. You have a question for Dr. Douglas. Go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Douglas. I'm sitting here after we just celebrated Independence Day, where every other thing was waving the flag and crying. The American Legion is quiet on the subject. The VFW is quiet. The people back in World War I, World War II are left out there like they didn't mean anything. When it was their blood that was spilled, we know that after World War II, a lot of German Nazis were brought here, and they were given American names, and they formed the basis of our CIA. Now we have these secret tribunals meeting under the Pentagon as if the gods or kings running our lives, Cheney and his secret energy commission putting their influence in our lives. We have an illegal administration. And my question
is, do you have a question?
My question is this. In America, we certainly have more good people than bad ones, especially veterans. Why, oh, why, oh, why do we put up with these ungodly beings in our country? We are the free, loving people who have spilled blood for our freedom. Why do not the good do away with the people who are doing this to us in this New World Order, Fourth Reich BS?
Right.
Americans are good. Why are they so silent?
Well, Ben,
let's go ahead and get Dr. Douglas' response to that. Okay, Ben.
Yes, Ben, you have brought up the hardest point to discuss, and it's a reason why I relied so much in other authors who had looked at this, because just my word wouldn't be enough on it, and why I included so much documentation and directed it specifically to this problem. You know, the hardest problem that anybody has in encountering this problem is to understand the extent of the deceit and duplicity among the top leaders of our country. And that's just no more true than in any place else than among the military, who have been taught exactly the converse for many years. Yes. And until you really get into this area and face that and start reading the material, you cannot recognize that. And that's one of the reasons, and of course the other one is sheer politics, that organizations such as the American Legion just backpedaled this issue tremendously.
Ben, let him finish. Go ahead.
Now, there is one organization that I would welcome you to look into, because it's the one organization that's done more than any other one, to my knowledge, and that's the folks at Rolling Thunder. Every year they come into Washington riding something like 300,000 motorcycles, and their sole purpose is really to bring attention to the people that were left behind, that were abandoned by the government.
And boy, do they get the conspiracy of silence from the controlled media.
Oh, they do. And as a matter of fact, we were looking at the newspaper this past year. I was talking at one of the rallies there, and you couldn't find any explanation of what Rolling Thunder was about or why people were there. And they downplayed the size of the crowds under like one like the Million Man March, which they inflated tremendously. And no discussion of really the issues and why all these 300,000 motorcycles had the POW/MIA flag flying behind them right next to the American flag.
Ben, the big problem we have is the media, and you've got to help us get the information out. You call me on Saturday when I did the
program. Are you kidding? I call you every chance
I get. I know you do. God bless you. But just don't get discouraged. Help us reach the other people. Encourage them to listen to our programs or our internet, and of course, get the information we have, and then you have our permission to copy, do whatever you want to. But help next Memorial Day weekend or July 4th. Well, let's go over to Hollister together and pass out some flyers. They had almost 100,000 motorcyclists out there. Maybe we can get some of those people on our side.
Those people are my buddies.
Okay.
And believe me, in the search for the truth, Dr. Stan, I am your strongest ally. And I would be very proud to die holding your right hand someday if we're fighting for our country. I will die right beside you rather than live under this illegal administration we have now. We have got to get our country back, sir. God bless you, and God bless you, Mr. Douglas.
God bless you, Ben. And, of course, remember what General Patton said in that movie. The idea is not you don't want to get killed dying for your country. You want to get the other fellow to die for his country. And, of course, we love America. And our job is not, though, with bullets or with rifles. Our job is an ideological one, to make people understand what is really at stake, and that is the future, not only of America, but the future of Western civilization is under attack today by people who have a different worldview, a different world vision, and have no value for human life, which I believe is God's highest creation.
And anybody we can get to read one or two of these books, written by numerous people that Dr. Stan carries, or listening to a couple of the tapes, excellent tapes that he's done with people like Bobby Garwood. You know, we can get a few people to start listening to those things, and we'll have each one of them converted. Because you can't listen to those tapes or read those books without understanding the horrendous nature of the problem here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your kind words, and thank you very much for taking the time to write the book. Well, let's get on, because we get sidetracked so often. So anyway, of course, you are, of course, get to meet with Major General Senya. Major General Senya,
yes,
of course, was a high official in the Czechoslovakian Communist Party and, of course, a high official in the military. What can you tell us about him and what he told you about the fate of the boys that were abandoned by our government in Korea?
Dr. Stan, General Sena was the highest-ranking defector we've ever had. Matter of fact, there's no one who can even ascribe to second place. He held 12 or 15 positions that I could rattle off, but just as an example, he was the chief of staff to the Minister of Defense, and he was also secretary of the Defense Council, which scheduled all the meetings, ran the agenda, and watched all the implementation of all the decisions to make sure they were carried out. And that defense council is above the Politburo. It's the highest decision-making body in the communist system. So he knew what was happening, and he had a fabulous memory. And as he told me about the POW thing, he said from his perspective, it really began with the Korean War. And when he was going over all the documentations, the Soviet instructions to the Czechs to establish a top secret hospital in North Korea, he ran across the instructions signed personally by Joseph Stalin that said, this operation is to be conducted in such a way that no one will ever know that it took place. And of course, the essence was in this, indicated in this hospital, constructed by the Czechs. They had knowledge that they were going to construct it before the war even began, and they worked hard when it started. And ostensibly, the excuse was, well, to provide some hospital facilities for treating casualties because the North Korean medical facilities were very small and very crude. That was just the cover story. It actually said what it was. It was an experimental hospital where prisoners of war who were captured and who were alive would be used as guinea pigs in the testing of chemical and biological agents and testing the effects of radiation on the human body to see how much radiation men could receive and still survive. They were used for practicing operations where young doctors would use these live people for just cutting off arms and legs and doing other things. So they're just sort of live cadavers to use. And they were also used to determine in tests, if you will, the physiological and psychological endurance of the young Americans. In other words, their abilities to stand up to the rigors of nuclear war, and this meant all sorts of torture. They were also used to develop a new and especially heinous form of chemical warfare, which were drugs which affect behavior and the mental processes that take place, which we were just beginning to be aware of at the time of the Korean War.
Well, I think that's so interesting that this was planned even before the Korean War. So how did they know the Korean War was going to come about before the American people did?
Well, of course, the Korean War was really a Soviet operation. And that was the decision was a Soviet decision. The Korean government was 98% Soviet puppets. South ethnic Koreans who were brought up in the Soviet Union and spoke Russian as well as Korean. So it was really a Soviet, one of the first Soviet satellite, you might say.
And it's still a Soviet satellite. I mean, anybody who thinks that they're operating alone up there has got to be incredibly naive. They would not be doing anything they were without the backing of the Soviets and our good friends, the Chinese communists as well.
Oh, absolutely. And so you have this taking place. And, you know, they did the same thing in Vietnam. In the Vietnam War, which Sen was also involved in, and here I've laid out the people who were present, the meetings, the decisions, the whole plan of operations for the use of the Americans, and a lot of the experimental processes that were involved. The North Vietnamese came to Moscow and to Prague, Czechoslovakia, requesting military assistance because they were going to start a big war in Vietnam. This, of course, long before the Americans knew about it. And the one of the Soviets' assistants, and the Soviets immediately said, well, you know, let me tell you a little bit about the Korean War, because one of the things that we want as a quid pro quo, if we help you in this war, is a steady supply of American prisoners of war for our own utilization. And then he explained something about the test run in the Korean War and how they wanted to continue these with the Americans captured during the Vietnam War because the Soviets had run short on American guinea pigs to use in their experiments.
And that was, of course, the theme of Harold Brown's book, Moscow Bound, that these people were being sent to Russia. And, of course, that has been totally suppressed from the American people. We wouldn't want to know that because maybe we'd wonder why we were financing the communists in Russia all the time. They were financing the North Vietnamese to keep the steady supply of American prisoners available to the communists.
Yes, and the media was very silent about all the starvation of 7 million Ukrainians back in the late 20s and 30s. They were silent about all the crimes of the Soviets during World War II. They were silent about all of the most important strategic intelligence operations that the Soviet intelligence services had been running, and still are, I might add, against the American society. You have all of these things taking place, and none of this information gets out to the American people, because the government doesn't want the people to know how bad the Soviet Union or the Russians are, and the media is for all practical purposes, part of the establishment.
I got involved in this struggle back in 1962. At that time, they were just finishing up the planned starvation in China, where they'd killed 44.5 million Chinese peasants. And I never heard of that, you know, for 20 or 30 years. It was never mentioned by most of our conservative organizations or so-called anti-communist organizations. And, of course, it's covered in an excellent book called Hungry Ghosts. We were able to get it, the book, a few years ago. I don't know if it's still available. They don't want the American people. I'm sure you've heard about that, Dr. Douglas. How could you suppress that information on the death of 44 million Chinese peasants? Why you control what the American people think. Joe, thanks so very much. And am I going to see you this weekend in Phoenix?
We're looking forward to it. We're flying out on Wednesday to Phoenix. And I hope to see my son while we're there.
All right, fine. Well, God bless you. And thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
The Anglo-American establishment
gives you the
documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill and his mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about the Miracle 2 soap products. Now, we can't make any medical claims for it. We can tell you that many of the people who use these products tell us all sorts of amazing, amazing stories of how it's benefited them and the things that they use it for. Of course, if you'd like to know more about the Miracle 2 soap products, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, we'll be glad to send you some information. Of course, we hope that you'll want to go ahead and get an introductory packet, and of course that includes 16-ounce bottles of the soap and the moisturizing soap, smaller bottles of the gel and the lotion, and then of course a bottle of the neutralizer, which some people say seems to help other, or many people actually say it helps their heartburn, because of course it's a very alkaline solution. All we can do is suggest you try the subjects, try the various products, and we hope that you will, as many of our listeners believe that they truly are, a miracle. Call us at 1-800-544-8927 for Miracle Soap products. And then, of course, we hope that some of you will seriously consider getting a Phonopoly set for your children or for your grandchildren to teach them how to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. This is five board games, two bonus games. They're played very much like Monopoly. And then, of course, we throw in a couple of books. Most of the programs to teach children how to read phonetically will cost $300-$500. This one's $139.95. And, of course, we throw in a couple of books on education that points out that there's been an organized effort to dumb down the American people. And, boy, they've done a good job at it. Of course, the books you'll get, we have a number of books and on this subject, and we offer two of them to everybody who orders a Phonopoly set by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, if you really care. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, this is the time when we want to mention to our listeners, we hope many of you want to consider getting some Alamax. Alamax is an excellent garlic product, and certainly garlic is good for your blood pressure and your cholesterol and your circulation, and I've used it for the last 8 months because I've certainly kept me from getting colds and upper respiratory infections. Alamax is an Allison product. Call 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. Ask about Alamax. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will seriously consider setting up an Institute of the Constitution in your church, in your home, in your neighborhood. And it's a system of 12 half-hour lectures. It'll take you 12 weeks to do it, but it'll be an unforgettable experience for you and everybody who comes. Because if the American people don't understand our Constitution, how can we hope to preserve our freedom if they don't know the difference between a republic and a democracy? If they don't know the history of where we came from, how can they understand where we are or where we're going? Call the Institute of the Constitution at 410-760-9068. Set one up now if you really value your freedom. That's 410-760-9068. And then, of course, we hope that some of you out there may very well consider MediShare. This is an alternative to the high-priced health insurance you have. It's time to consider an affordable biblical alternative, MediShare, where thousands of Christian families are sharing one another's medical bills. See how you can save 50% or more on your family health care costs. And for more information, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about MediShare. And then, of course, we hope that some of you out there will give serious consideration to getting a Phenopoly set if you have children or grandchildren. You need to have this so they can learn to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, a Phenopoly is available by calling 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Warm. We hope you want to get Dr. Joe Douglas's excellent book. It's called Betrayed. And it's available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That you want to get our four-tape set on Vietnam, our four-tape set on the men we left behind, the four-tape set on the one man who came back, and, of course, how he was persecuted, because, of course, he was supposed to die there, and he was too smart to die, and so they targeted him specifically and made his life miserable. The story of Bobby Garwood, the one man who came back, and, of course, he wasn't supposed to come back. He was supposed to die there. You can get the four tapes set separately, or you can get them as part of our Vietnam special. Unless you want to, if you have one of the tape sets, you can substitute something else for it. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and get Betrayed or get the Vietnam special. And, of course, included in that special is the report from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee about the men we abandoned in the First World War and the Second World War and in Korea. And in Vietnam. And of course, if the Senate Foreign Relations Committee put this out, why wouldn't you never hear about it? Because they control what the American people think. We have so many things for Radio Liberty. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll mail you a newsletter if you haven't had one before. We'll send you a catalog, and we hope, of course, that you'll want to join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure, because that's what it's really all about. Our freedoms come from God. The Supreme Court, of course, is looking to the United Nations and, of course, through the European community for its guidance, and that was the latest decision. And they admitted, of course, they weren't interested in what the Constitution said. They were going elsewhere for information on how to decide on the issue of sodomy in Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, we got real problems. And I personally believe that the judges who voted to violate their oath to uphold our Constitution should be impeached. And I hope you'll join me in that effort. And then pray for America. Pray for certainly our leaders. Pray for revival. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And remember our website, radioliberty.com. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.